This is the Blitz. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
When you talk about playoffs, I mean, football is the best because it's one game elimination. I think baseball is right behind it because there's so much drama. Every pitch means something. There's so many twists and turns. I love playoff baseball. When your team's involved in it, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
It's a little more fun, yeah. It's nice to see the Astros playing postseason ball. I've been excited about this team all year, and this is kind of the culmination of it. I think this is a winnable series for them. There is a redshirt freshman defensive lineman for USC named Liam Jimmons, who is now under investigation by Washington State University police. USC players are running off the field, all these fans running on, and he gets in one guy's way, the guy throws him down out of his way. I don't have a problem with it.
You don't belong on the field.
Yeah, my stance on that is clear.
If I'm a player, I don't know if one of these drunk idiots is going to do something.
I don't feel bad for you if you're a fan and you run onto the field, you rush the field, and you get flattened.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also, hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. F-A-L-U-R. At A.J. is the real.
Who just got thrown out?
Is that Bregman?
I don't think it was
Bregman. No, it couldn't have been Bregman.
Derek Fisher.
Oh, what is he even doing?
Pinch running.
Oh, okay.
God, so if you're the pinch runner and you get thrown out stealing, you should lose your game check. Jose Altuve, during the break, hit his third home run of the game.
Is that good?
That seems strong. That's a pretty good number, I would think, for one game. The game's not over, but let's say the game goes 9 innings. That would be one home run every 3 innings, which I would think is a pretty good pace. If you could do that over the course of a season, I mean, just imagine what you could do. I mean, you could probably hit 500 home runs in a season.
Would you get in the Hall of Fame for that?
I think so.
Pretty impressive, man. So 8-2 is now your score.
Rob Gronkowski officially out for tonight's game.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
So... Too bad, my friends. It hurts me more than it hurts you, I'm guessing.
Well, not me, because I have him too.
Yeah, I mean, well, but you, I have him in every league that I'm in.
Okay, that's fair. I only have two leagues, so this is half my leagues.
Okay, well, I'm 3-3.
For some reason,
Jose Altuve has hit a home run for every league that I have Rob Gronkowski in.
Interesting.
When Jose Altuve hit 3 home runs, Gronkowski out in all 3 AJ's leagues. Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, the weird thing
if
is...
If he hits a fourth, then we're in trouble.
Yeah. The thing is, I never thought I would get Gronkowski because people always draft him higher than I was willing to take him, but not this year. So...
I took him in the second round.
I did. Actually, I had one draft that went exactly like yours, 1-2, AJ Green and Rob Gronkowski. Yep. So... We probably picking in the same spot. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So, don't want to jinx it, but looks like your Astros are about to go up one game to none.
It's a strong start.
And beat Chris Sale in the process. And it was it's Sale's first postseason game. Struggled a little bit down the stretch. Verlander's 17th, I believe.
Ooh.
Is that good or is that a lot?
I think that's good.
Of course, he is 172 years old.
Yeah.
But I know we talked a little college with Brad in the last hour, but there's a couple other games that we didn't get to. What's your opinion on SMU Houston?
I think SMU getting a touchdown seems giftish to me.
It seems generous, does it not?
Yeah.
And that number has kind of gotten outside of a touchdown a couple times. If it's at 7 now, and it's kind of vacillated between 8 and 7. Boy, if it gets back to 7.5, I think I'm going to have to pounce on that.
Yeah, I mean, 7's enough for me. I don't
I think they may win the game outright.
Frankly. They might. That's a game that I'm definitely interested in. If it gets below 7, I'm probably leaving it alone. But even then, I would feel, I mean, if you gave me 6, I wouldn't feel awful about it.
Yeah, and especially since I don't know if Ed Oliver's going to play.
Yeah.
I know defensive players don't have that big of an impact, yeah, but he does. That player on that team in that league, he's worth a few points.
Yeah.
So. 713-780-ESPN. I don't have too much else I really like this weekend, but that game intrigues me. It's interesting to hear that Brad likes A&M. He kind of makes a case because if they come in unbeaten and had won that first game, I bet the line's about 19 or 20.
Probably.
Even though we've seen how garbage they look, too, even in those wins. How about OU minus 30 against Iowa State?
Too many points.
Yeah.
Can't mess with it. Can't do it.
Nope. Northern Illinois minus 23.5 at Kent. Looking at your big numbers here.
Yeah.
God, I'm so pissed that people have caught on to UTSA.
It happens. I mean, it was
a good ride there while it lasted. Any thoughts on Army minus 11.5 against Rice?
No. I mean, I would lean Army, but not a play.
Texas opened 6.5, now down to 4.5 against Kansas State.
I like Texas. I liked it better at 3.
Yeah.
I'll pass for now.
713-780-ESPN.
One of the games. I don't know if I'm going to play it because the number's down to 3. It was up to 4.5 at one point. I kind of like North Carolina State tonight against Louisville.
Yeah.
Catching points at home.
Yeah.
Some of the other games that I'm sort of gauging for this weekend. I told you yesterday, I like Boise State a lot at BYU. I think Boise State, I mean, you're sort of buying low on them, and BYU's just not good.
Yeah.
You know, Boise State at 2-2, I think Boise State's going to – they haven't completely fallen apart as a program. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, well –
They're not going to play in a New Year's Day bowl, but they'll be all right. BYU looks like a mess, so I kind of like Boise State. They're at minus 7.5 now. We've talked a lot about North Carolina. That's on my list for this weekend. Who else did I like? I've told you I like Vanderbilt a lot, and that number is getting to the point where it's very, very healthy. I like Virginia against Duke, minus 2.5.
Virginia's pretty good.
Virginia's a good team.
Speaking of Boise, they just put it on them.
Yeah. So I like that. One that I've looked at a lot, and I don't know if I'll play, Sparty plus 10.5 at Michigan. It's a rivalry game.
John O'Korn playing quarterback, too.
And Michigan's quarterback play hasn't – I mean, I just can't give over 10 points – for Michigan right now. So that's on my radar. I sort of like Arkansas against South Carolina. Minus 2.5. Just what I've seen from those two teams, Arkansas is a better football team. Colorado minus 6.5 at home against Arizona is also intriguing to me.
I think that one's interesting.
People are sleeping a little bit on Colorado. And then what was the other game that I liked a lot? I told you Vanderbilt. We've talked a lot about Florida. Minus 3. I don't understand why that number is at 3.
Yeah.
It's like going down towards LSU.
I'll give you a little preview of the picks I did for pregame this week. That's one of my plays on there.
And Miami minus 4 at Florida State. I would have liked it better at minus 3, but I just think Florida State's such a mess right now. They've got nothing at quarterback. It's just a bad situation.
Penn State minus 14 against Northwestern. Feel like a blowout by Penn State from ATF?
It's too much on the road. Northwestern's not crap, and this is one of the better teams Penn State's played so far, so I'll wait.
If I went to ask, what was the line would you have played if the UTSA game would have actually happened? It was UTSA was plus 12. I would have played UTSA
hammered.
Hard at that. Yeah.
Hammered.
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate that it didn't happen, but, yeah, is that a nice catch by Springer there? So, eighth inning. Astros still leading. Boy, sounds like a wild scene out there. I got some friends there, and they're just saying the crowd's nuts. You know what? I noticed it earlier today when I was I went down and I biked downtown to meet the wife for lunch, and there were bars that were already packed. It was 11:15 in the morning, and there were people in their gear walking all over downtown screaming, "Go Astros!" Those are going to be some drunk people on the way home if they're still going at it as early as they were this morning. But that's cool, man. I love seeing people excited. And obviously, a lot of people are. And they did pull Verlander after six, which I think is a smart move.
It's
another guy that you'll have ready if you need him. You know, if you can go Verlander, Keuchel, and Verlander again in four, you're in pretty good shape.
Feel pretty good about it.
But Davinsky came in and pitched an inning. Harris is going to pitch an inning. I assume Giles will pitch an inning. Or maybe you save Giles. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, if you don't, I mean.
If you don't need him. But you also don't want 8-2 to turn into 8-5 in a playoff game. Because we saw what happened a couple years ago.
Yep.
Jesse says New England's dropped to 3.5 since the Gronk news.
It might be a play.
Yeah. Greg says, if Altuve doesn't get MVP, I'm driving to New York and pooping on the voters' desks.
I think if Altuve doesn't get the MVP, it's Adelaide Bird had the final say.
Yeah. But I think, Longhorn Dimitri, should I pick up Dwayne Allen or Jason Witten to replace Gronk?
Yeah,
Jason Witten, for sure. But
I was lucky. Cameron Brate was available in all three leagues I'm in.
Yeah.
And we've talked about playing against, if you've got offensive guys going against the Pats right now, it ain't a bad thing.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Eric says, I love this in-game betting on my book. He was able to get Stros minus 1.5 for plus 212 right before they scored runs 3 and 4.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you need that. You need to get locked in. 97 Sun Devil, at home, is it okay to pretend that I'm on a work conference call, but actually listening to the Blitz on the app?
Yeah.
100%.
We recommend it, in fact.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would do. I'd tell you what, I'm on a conference call. I've got the headphones on.
I'll be around.
Yeah. All right. Very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz, presented by Big City Wings on Highway 6 on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So, Liriano just came in and got an out, and we go to the ninth, 8-2, after Will Harris gave up a couple of hits. Boy, some pretty impressive numbers from some guys today.
Strong day.
Well, we'll start off with the little man. 3-for-4.
Don't call him the little man. We like to call him the wee lad.
The wee lad?
Yeah.
¿Cómo se dice wee lad in Espanol?
Jose Altuve.
Okay. 3-for-4 with three home runs. Big game for him. Gattis has a couple of doubles. Woo Boy also has a couple of hits. And Alex Bregman with a couple of hits. So everyone in the lineup, with the exception of Springer and Correa, has at least one hit for the Astros today. And they chase Sale after five innings with 9 hits and 7 runs.
Nice.
Hit 3 home runs off of him.
Strong showing.
Verlander, 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, only struck out 3. But you'll take that.
You'll take it.
And the good news is he's relatively well rested in that he only had to go 6, 99 pitches. So if you have to bring him back.
Things.
Yeah. I mean, that's that works out well. Assuming they finish this thing off, which I'm sure they will. Pretty good first effort for the Astros. And you got to feel good with Keuchel tomorrow.
Yeah.
So people are pretty excited and probably pretty drunk. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Somebody on the text line was asking, what do you think about the West Virginia TCU over? It's like 68.5. I think Anytime West Virginia's playing in a game and TCU's playing in a game, I'm going to like the over if I play it. I don't particularly like this one, but I don't think I don't want to say you can't go wrong, but I think you're on the right side of it if you take the over with those two teams.
Yep.
It's just not for me. Did you see this? You remember how we talked about guy was asking for rookie of the year after four games?
Yeah.
Well, here's why. It's because news organizations do this crap.
Oh, they're already doing it?
USA Today, NFL first quarter awards. Why Kareem Hunt and not Alex Smith is the MVP so far. Their MVP, Kareem Hunt. Contenders, Tom Brady, Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley's been really good.
Yeah. Offensive player of the year, Tom Brady. Contender, Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley. Brady's been really good. It's not his fault they're 2-2. Defensive player of the year, Everson Griffin of the Vikings.
Okay.
5.5 sacks on a Vikings defense. It's been really good. Contenders, DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys. Melvin Ingram of the Chargers.
Okay.
Who's been good, but.
The Chargers are 0-4. Ain't that good.
No. Offensive. You know who I would put on that list ahead of him? I bet you Devion Clowney.
He's been very good.
Offensive rookie of the year, Kareem Hunt. Contenders, Dalvin Cook. Nah, not so fast. The other contender, Deshaun Watson.
Of course.
Quarterback Texans. Defensive rookie of the year, Jamal Adams. Safety of the Jets. And contenders, Marshawn Lattimore of the Saints. Malik Hooker of the Colts.
All right.
So, yes, people do this.
Well,
That's a legitimate news organization that did that.
Give me the halfway point. We can do it halfway point.
Yeah, I think halfway is when you can start. That's a
respectable time to make awards predictions. Can't do it before that. I got nothing for you before that.
Lamont says, just to think there were tons of people who didn't want Verlander. There were?
Who?
Yeah. Who are these people?
I thought the only holdup was Jim Crane opening up his checkbook.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Jim Crane opening up his checkbook, did you guys hear the little dig Carlos Correa made?
No.
Carlos Correa was getting interviewed, and he was talking about his relationship with Jose and how they get along very well, and even they fight sometimes, but they get right back along. They're like brothers. And that was the end of the press conference. And then, like, the reporter said, thank you. And, like, as he was getting up to leave, Carlos Correa said, now hopefully Jim signs him for 10 more years so we could stay together. And I was like, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a shots fired, Jim.
Well, does that mean, Carlos, you're going to sign for 10 more years?
I don't know, but let me tell you, what Jose Altuve's made this year and what he'll make in the next 2 years is less than what Carlos Beltran made this year, which is just, it's not
it's
fair.
Insane. It's insane.
Like, and I know the Astros have no, there's no rules that say they need to pay that guy, but you want your organization to be respected, and you want guys like Carlos Correa and George Springer to look at you as a team that really, you know, really takes care of your guys. They need to give that guy some love, because he is playing on it's such an absurdly discounted contract that it's almost unfair. This guy just won you the MVP, but more than likely, I feel bad for him.
Well, I've said all along, I would call his agent right now and say, look, let's make this right. You give me a couple more years and I'll pay you what you're worth.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of this, oh, well, we got him under team control.
That's what they care about, though. That's the unfortunate thing.
You know what? He'll still be under team control. He'll just get paid what he's worth.
Right.
But it's easy for me to spend somebody else's money.
That is easy.
I can't believe there were people that didn't want Verlander.
I don't know anybody who said that.
And Lamont pays a lot more attention to social media than I do, so maybe that's where it was. But I thought people were thrilled.
They should have been.
I think people didn't want to give up, like, Tucker or Fisher for Verlander. I think that's
God forbid this team didn't have Forrest Whitley. I mean,
okay, all right. That I remember some of, but
Derek Fisher, who just got thrown out stealing as a pinch runner, clearly he's more vital to the Astros World Series hopes than Justin Verlander.
Interesting.
I'm looking
Fisher.
Franchise stats wise, where do you think Jose Altuve comes in batting average?
Oh, he's got to be number one.
No, he's number two.
Behind who?
Well, I don't know if this counts, but Moises Alou is number one because he hit 331 in the span of like 3 or 4 years with the Astros.
Well, that's, okay. That's long enough, yeah.
Yeah.
That's respectable.
We have declared that long enough. Team Blitz says yes.
That's respectable.
Yeah, and Mr. Craig Biggio doesn't even show up in the top 10.
Well, shocker. But he's the best player in the whole wide world of all time.
Although you know, offensive war, he's number one. Craig Biggio is? Yeah. And Jose Altuve, in his short span with the Astros, number eight.
That's impressive. Well, where's Jose Cruz on that list?
Which one? War? Offensive war?
Yeah.
Number six.
Damn right he is. Got it. I mean,
don't disrespect Jose.
Never. Listen, Jose Cruz was the best. When I was a kid, Jose Cruz was the best player on the team.
Well,
no joke.
It was him and Cesar Cedeno and
Bill Doran and Billy Hatcher and Kevin
Bass. I go back even farther. Enos Cabell.
Yeah, Cesar Cedeno, number four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cesar Cedeno was a really good player.
It was like, this is how what being a child does to you. It warps you. Like, growing up, I thought Jose Cruz was like the best baseball player, period. You know, because he was the best guy on the Astros.
Yeah.
And it, like, in my head, I was like, God, how are the Astros not winning the World Series every year? They've got Nolan Ryan, Mike Scott, and Jim Deshays, 1-2-3. I mean, that's an unstoppable pitching rotation. And then I'm like, oh, Billy Hatcher and Kevin Bass are your corner outfielders. That's strong. And then when you grow up, you look at Jose Cruz's career numbers and you're like, oh, he wasn't really that good.
Yeah.
He was really good for an Astro at the time, but compared to everybody else, okay.
Bob Nepper.
Charlie Kerfield. Glenn Davis.
Not our Glenn Davis.
Mustachioed Glenn Davis.
Yeah. I used to think, wow, they finally got a power hitter with Glenn Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, but 27 homers or something.
The big bopper.
Oh, man, that's what, isn't that what Milo called him?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. 713.
Alan Ashby.
You know what? It was legitimately an argument up until I think McCann's the best catcher they've ever had. But Brad Ausmus is probably the best catcher in this team's history. If you go back and look,
that's sad.
I mean, it is sad. And shortstop was just as bad.
Yeah.
Until Dickie Thon looked like he was going to be great, and then he got eyeballed.
Poor Dickie.
Mm. All right.
His name was Dickie. I didn't like that anyway.
That's a negative.
Yeah, that was frowned upon to me, but, Craig Reynolds was there.
Yeah. All right. We're talking on my bookie a little bit earlier, and let's go to Rafael Esparza, Vegas sports informer with Doc Sports. You can follow Rafael on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. Rafael, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, we're doing fantastic, my man. So, one game that we've been talking a lot about over the last couple of days is the spread on Alabama A&M. And watching A&M closely the last few weeks, they offensively, they're not able to throw the ball at all. Their quarterback can run, but 26.5 seems like a lot. Where do you come down on this one?
Well, for us, for odds makers right now, we just get on our knees and pray every time Alabama's playing because they can make it a close game or something we can watch by halftime, because right now they're just a covering machine. And if Alabama was playing in the NFL, we would be getting crushed every week. But luckily we have 70 other games to try to get our money back from people cashing tickets on Alabama, because we can't make the spread high enough without them, without just not getting two-way action. And it's doing the same thing right now, 62% of the action coming in on Alabama, and I'm sure they're going to be teasing that with other games. So for us, we just wanted someone to cover against Alabama or make it a nice close game, because right now we've been getting crushed on first half action and the game wise.
This another game we've talked a lot about this week is Houston -7 at home against SMU, and I think this SMU team is a lot better than people realize. What are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of Houston love, but I agree with you on SMU. They're perfect 5-0 against the spread, and the bettors notice that. So when I can guarantee you Saturday we'll get a swing of some SMU money. One thing that's a little interesting to us is the way SMU does play on defense, and I think that's going to be the big factor if they can stop Houston, which Houston's offense has not been the same we've seen the last couple of years. I mean, they only scored 20 points against Temple at Temple, and Temple's defense is not as good as a normal Temple defense as well. I lean towards SMU in this one. I just think right now they're playing a really good football, and I really like how they demolished Connecticut last week on both sides of the ball, especially on the defensive end.
Texas is a 4.5-point favorite at home against Kansas State. I'm not sure we know what the Longhorns are yet, but you got any insight in that one?
Yeah, I still don't know what kind of Longhorn team we are. I'm still really impressed on how well they played against USC, but I don't know if maybe that's just the way how USC badly. They're a Jekyll and Hyde team, but I'm a little bit impressed. I lean towards Kansas State on this one. Kansas State always plays Texas really tough, but the home team is 5-0 against the spread. But if you want to throw another stat out there, the Wildcats have covered 8 out of their last 10 against Texas. I lean towards Texas because I think each game they go on, new system, new head coaches, I think they're going to get better through the season goes on. And I lean towards Texas. I think this might be the one you're like, wow, maybe this Texas team is going to start playing well. Would not be shocked. I say late a 4.5. It's a small 4.5. If Texas, let's say, came in maybe 3-1 and the Kansas State coming in a little bit struggling on the road, this number might have been a solid 6. I think it's a very soft 4, 4.5 on Texas.
All right, one more before we let you go. I can't understand how Florida is inside a field goal at home against LSU after what I've seen out of LSU, and I think Florida's getting better. I know they've got a couple guys out. What do you think about that one?
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think the reason why this number is what it is, because I think the LSU is probably going to play a lot better on the road than they do at home. I think the same thing with the Patriots tonight. I think they played better in Tampa Bay, just getting out of their home field. But what I saw against Troy, I mean, LSU has no depth whatsoever, and in the second half, they're out of gas offensive line and defensive line. If you're Florida, if you can run the ball early, this might be an ugly game. I like Florida in this one. It's a soft 2.5, but I still can't believe we're still on 2.5 because we're getting 71% of the money coming in on Florida. Would not be shocked if we move it to 3, 3.5, and 4 by kickoff, because right now everybody sees what we see, and Florida has to be the play on this one.
All right, that's Rafael Esparza. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. Rafael, appreciate the time, my friend.
Take it easy, and it looks like you got an Astros W on your hand.
Yeah, looks like it, but yeah, long way to go though. A couple more games still.
First one's always the hard one.
Yep. Thanks a lot, man.
Take it easy.
And if you want to get in on any of that action, you know where you can do it, mybookie.ag. And live in-game, they've got a user-friendly mobile site. But if you join now, and you're a first-timer, MyBookie's going to match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. So if you like what you were hearing there and you want to get in on some of these, this is your chance. And you can pick side, total. They've got player props. And once a game starts, you just click on the game, and it's got in-game for you. So you can do that. And it doesn't matter if you're just getting started or if you've been doing it for years. They've got great returns on things. If you like horses like I do, you get a nice daily rebate for your horse bets. And if you're tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a withdrawal, well, that doesn't happen with MyBookie. Decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print. You get the greatest customer service in the business guaranteed. All you have to do is use promo code RADIO to activate your bonus of up to 100%. Call 844-900-2387 or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. That's 844-900-BETS. Or go online to mybookie.ag and use promo code RADIO. Bet with the biggest, win with the best only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
It's just one of those days. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz, presented by Big City Wings on Highway 6 on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Astros win 8-2. It's a good start. Two wins away, man.
I tweeted out earlier that Jose Altuve, you know, I tweeted a picture of Kanye West and Taylor Swift and said, hey, Aaron Judge, I'm gonna let you finish, but Jose Altuve is the real MVP. And some guy from Massachusetts said, regular season award, bud. And I said, well, he was better in the regular season too, bud. And then He says, probably, but tweeting about it after homers in the postseason makes me think you had to Google that, Chief. This isn't a guy who follows me. I don't know that he knows that I cover sports in Houston for my job, but I didn't have to Google how well Jose Altuve's played. Just in case anyone was worrying.
Yeah.
If I'm Googling Jose Altuve's stats every day.
Yeah, I love it when people who don't follow me try to get into Twitter battles with me. I just block them.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot more. I block a lot more people now. If you're just being a dickweed, I'm probably going to block you at some point.
Yeah, well.
It's just, I ain't got time for that nonsense. 713-780-ESPN. Yehab asked, did you said you like NC State? I don't remember. You did, right?
I do like NC State.
Yeah, you're on NC State.
I don't think I'm going to play it because it's the number's gone down to 3. It was at 4.5. I liked it better there. But it honestly wouldn't shock me if NC State won tonight. But yeah, it's not a play, but it was definitely on my cutting room floor.
Got anything you want to get to here?
I mean,
I got some sports. I got some non-sports. I got Deshaun Watson named AFC Player of the Week.
That's impressive. And yeah. I mean, rightfully so. It's hard to argue. I feel like we've done enough sports.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
But, well, I don't know. Maybe we didn't.
It's been pretty sportsy today. The only thing that really wasn't sportsy was the gym of the day.
That's true. Did you see... I think this is a story that will interest you. This is from the Idaho State Journal, Fred.
Idaho?
Yeah. The story itself is out of Casper, Wyoming. I guess Wyoming doesn't have their own newspaper, so they use the Idaho newspaper. A Casper man named Bryant Johnson was encountered by Casper police 10:30 p.m. on Monday. He claimed that he was from the year 2048 and had traveled back in time to warn of an alien invasion.
I saw this.
He wanted to warn the people of Casper that aliens will arrive next year and they should leave as soon as possible. Johnson asked to speak to the president of the town about 170 miles north of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Johnson told police he was only able to time travel because aliens filled his body with alcohol. He noted that he was supposed to be transported to the year 2018 and not this year. So the aliens made a slight miscalculation. And media reports indicated that his blood alcohol content was 0.136.
It's kind of low, actually.
It's a little low to be talking that crazy. But that seems like your kind of guy. Aliens filled me up with alcohol. I'm time traveling now.
I'd like to time travel. What I would love to time travel is just like 6 months into the future and basically do the Back to the Future thing where I write down every sports result and then come back and then.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah. Then I would have a 1-800 line and say, documented 100% over the last 3 months. He feels you can move on this game as if it was played
13 years ago.
Oh. 713-780-ESPN. Chris Whitmire just texted, my bourbon is good, but we make no claims concerning time travel. That's too bad. Well, technically, being really drunk is time travel because... At one point, it's, say, 9 o'clock at night, and the next thing you realize, it's 11:30. You've traveled forward 2 hours in time.
Yeah.
And a half hours. Two and a half
hours. We didn't talk about this. Is it interesting to you that the Indians are throwing Trevor Bauer in game one?
I was a little surprised by that.
Trevor Bauer, who, I mean, listen, I'm not, you don't sneeze at Trevor Bauer. He's actually a hell of a pitcher. But... It felt like an odd choice when you've got, well, for starters, you've got the Cy Young on your team, the presumed Cy Young in Corey Kluber on your team, That's the guy. I mean, that's the guy I would have expected to see out there game one. But maybe because they knew the Yankees had used up Severino, they didn't feel like they needed to. But that's a bit of a surprise to me. I would have thought, and even if you're not going to go with Kluber, I would think you'd throw Carrasco. But that's an interesting choice that Trevor Bauer's out there right now.
Well,
17-9 on the season.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
And that's sort of the great thing about the Indians pitching rotation is they've got really four guys who have been just studly this year. And if you count Clevinger, and I don't even know if they're going to pitch him as a starter. They may use Danny Salazar instead because he's been hot late after a really abysmal start. But yeah, they could throw a lot of guys at you. It just seems like game one, you want to throw out your best guy just in case you need to use him on short rest later on, right?
Well, yeah. Although maybe they feel like they have enough depth if
they get by
with Bauer and maybe they feel like they kind of have three aces. I agree with you, Kluber's the guy I would be throwing out there. But if they think they can get by game one with Bauer, now you've got Kluber and Carrasco set up in two and three. You got like your chances of closing the thing out.
Oh yeah.
So.
Honestly, right. if I finish through, I mean, well, I guess it depends on what the other series looks like. But if I get up 2-0 and I haven't used Carrasco yet,
you may save him for.
I might throw Salazar or somebody else and let him pitch game one of the ALCS. But I mean, obviously, you want to keep their rest, a certain way,
right?
But yeah,
and maybe that's part of it too.
That's what makes the Indians so great. They're not going to throw a bum pitcher out on any given night. They just don't have them.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz, presented by Big City Wings on Highway 6 on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Tomorrow, coming to Luke's Ice House. Join the usual suspect, Joel, and the Blitz, 1 to 7. Broadcast live, get you ready for football, courtesy of Miller Lite and Coors Light. And we've got our first game story up on the Astros on Sports Map, so go check it out. Got to fix some things on it, but it's on the site. AJ spotted a couple things. You might have a future as an editor, AJ.
I'm like an assistant editor. That should be my job title.
Yeah, well, make sure in your contract you get
I don't know if there's such thing as an assistant editor, but that should be me.
All right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's do Hoffman on Hollywood. And I knew you were going to, like, every... I don't know why, but does our Wi-Fi slow down at 6 o'clock in this building?
Yeah.
Not sure why.
Every day, like, the internet just stops working better here. I don't know what's going on, but like... It seems like 6 o'clock. You remember for the longest time at 6 o'clock, the air conditioning would shut off?
Yeah.
And we finally bitched about it, and they were like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll take care of you. But it always seems like 6 o'clock, the internet slows down. I didn't know who this guy was. Mark Salling. Are you familiar with him, John?
Who?
Mark Salling.
No.
He is best known for his role as Puck in the show Glee. He pleaded guilty to child pornography charges and now faces 4 to 7 years in prison. He was arrested on charges of possessing child pornography involving a prepubescent minor in December 2015. He is said to have downloaded thousands of images of child pornography. Now, as part of his guilty plea agreement, he must face 4 to 7 years in prison, and he's going to have to register as a sex offender, have no communication with anyone under the age of 18 unless in the presence of a parent or legal guardian, and he's also ordered to pay $50,000 in restitution to each victim who's requested it. Once released, he'll remain under supervision for 20 years, and be forced to stay 100 feet away from schoolyards, parks, public swimming pools, playgrounds, and video arcade facilities. They found more than 1,000 images of child sexual exploitation on Salling's computer and had seized his other electronic devices. This dude had it made. I mean, he was on that show. That's it. I'm imagining those kids made a bunch of money on that show.
Yeah.
But that's just an odd thing. And he's like 35, maybe?
Yeah.
I think good.
I just don't understand the mindset of people who get into child porn.
I don't understand it either. It's beyond me.
Yeah, but it's you're sick.
Despite a completed autopsy, Tom Petty's exact cause of death has yet to be determined. While no foul play is expected, Los Angeles County Coroner spokesman Ed Winter said that the coroner investigates all deaths where the deceased hadn't seen a doctor in 6 months. Petty was found unconscious and in cardiac arrest in his Malibu home on Sunday. He died at the UCLA Medical Center on Monday evening. Results of the toxicology screening to determine whether Petty had any drugs in his system could take several weeks. He was a longtime smoker. He'd smoked since he was 17, though he had gone down to less than a pack a day, he says. In June 2010, he was trying to quit, even took up some e-cigarettes, which helped his wife Dana quit smoking. He said, "I've cut way down. You get vapor and a shot of nicotine, nothing burning." But they're still saying that the official cause is up for debate at this point, which I found interesting. I mean, I just thought he had a heart attack. But they're saying maybe there could be more to it than that. A woman has had 8 surgeries. It's almost funny that this is now, like, not Hollywood talk, but it's, like, political talk. Because a woman wants to look like Melania Trump. She's had now a tummy tuck, liposuction, a Brazilian butt lift, and a nose job revision in order to look like her idol, First Lady Melania Trump. Guess where she's from?
Where?
Texas.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
Couldn't be Florida, huh?
Oh, yes. She's a Texan. It's all to emulate the First Lady, whom Sierra calls the perfect woman. She's 42 years old. She says, "I want to feel as good as I do inside on the outside." Several outlets have reported that Sierra's transformation has cost her between $50,000 and $64,000 so far. And she says the original nose job was to correct a broken nose she suffered due to domestic violence, and that before her surgery, she'd been told she looked, quote, old for her age. But that didn't stop her from picking Melania over Ivanka Trump as the inspiration for the new look. "I've had so many women visit my office wanting the Ivanka look," the doctor said. "So it's not really surprising to see women now requesting to look more like Melania, who is simply gorgeous." She is very hot. I mean, she's a very hot first lady. But $64,000 spent to look like her seems excessive. But there you go. That is this week's Hoffman on Hollywood.
I'm having to edit the story. It needs a lot of work. Yeah. Like basic stuff like the score.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Fire him. You're fired.
Well, it's first try. It'll get better, I promise. You know, the idea is to get it out as quickly as possible. We just kind of need a few things here. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. We will be in Beaumont tomorrow. Come out and see us, Beaumont. I want to thank Jong Lee. Great job. Great job, AJ Hoffman. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.